We have today in the first reading the last lines of the prophet Amos. We'll start Ezekiel on Monday, which will be harder to understand than Amos. Did you recognize that prophecy? On that day I will raise up the fallen hut of David. I will wall up its breaches, raise up its ruins, rebuild it. And it goes on about them. You know, they will conquer what is left of Edom, and all the nations that shall bear my name, say I, will do this. Do you remember the first council of Jerusalem? Paul and Barnabas and others had been preaching to the Gentiles, and they weren't obliging them to the observance of the Torah in all its fullness. So they had a big council down in Jerusalem. Is this right? Is this what we're supposed to do? And Paul and Barnabas and Peter got up. You remember Peter had that experience when the sheet was lowered down and he went up to the house of Cornelius and the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his whole household. So obviously God has different plans. So Paul, Barnabas, and Peter all spoke at the council. And James, the patriarch, gets up. And he says, we've just heard from our brother Simeon, we've heard from Paul and Barnabas. This is of the Lord. As the Lord says in the prophet Amos, I will build up the fallen hut of David. Remember that now? Now, when someone in that culture quotes a text, he's going to give you the first few lines and presume you know the rest. So, but luckily, for those who might have a little trouble with the rest, it's here. You see? And all the nations that shall bear my name, say I. So it's also a prediction of universality. There will come a time when the ruined hut of David will be built, and it will be a blessing for the whole world. That's Jesus' coming. The ruined hut of David is now restored. The kingship is back in David's hands and will be until the end of the world and beyond, because the Son of David has come. And all the prophecies about that Ben David, that Son of David to come, are now fulfilled. And so, isn't that beautiful? But do you see God's fidelity? Might have to wait a few hundred years, but it's always there. And so we have the text today of prosperity, this prophecy of prosperity. The plowman shall overtake the reaper. They won't even be finished the harvest when the plowman wants to come and dig it up so they can plant again. See? And the vintages, the one who's going to gather the grapes, he's already there while the other fellow is still sowing. It's a beautiful image of prosperity. And it's the end of this prophecy of Amos, which, as you remember, we've heard it now for over a week, is pretty severe against the Northern Kingdom. And now this prophecy of restoration. The hut of David will be rebuilt. The house of David will be rebuilt. And it is rebuilt. And ruling the whole universe is the risen, glorious, incarnate Son of God, who is Son of David. And that's why James, they're all waiting to see what James is going to say, obviously. And he gives this promise of restoration that will have universal consequences. In the gospel, we have another direction. You see, what about fasting? Now, Jesus always answers these questions in a way that invites a counter question. You know, Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? What are you saying, Jesus? Are you saying you're the bridegroom? Yes. That's Isaiah 53. That's all. I am God. I am the bridegroom of my people. And so long as I'm here with them physically, they're not going to fast. There'll come a time when they'll fast. When the bridegroom in this form is taken away from them, and they'll fast like everybody else, but not now. But even then, it's going to be different. You know, you can't take all the old institutions and just fill them up with new understanding. They'll explode them. Now you should know that God has visited you as he promised in Amos and Hosea and everybody. And he comes himself. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom that God describes himself to be. He's God. And this wedding, first in his own humanity, right? The first wedding between God and his people took place in the womb of the Virgin Mary when he wedded humanity to himself. And so, and then he says, so you've got to have new things for new acts of God. And so that's why he gives that little illustration. You don't combine old and new because it'll ruin both. Pay attention. We're at fulfillment. That's us. We live in the age of fulfillment. The bridegroom is here. And that's why Paul calls the church the bride of Christ. That's why the end of the very last chapter of the book of Revelation is the bride coming down to meet her bridegroom. All those who have lived the life of Christ, the divine life given to them. They are the bride and they're coming to have an eternal wedding. God does this for us because simple, abstract statements are good for building bridges, but they're not good for inspiring a whole human person to look forward. We live in this age when the fallen hut of David has been rebuilt. It's the church. And the head of this hut, you see, is Jesus Christ. It's his body. He's wedded to this. The Bible speaks very often symbolically because the realities that it's mediating won't fit into regular discourse. They're too big, they're too beautiful, they're too real. The way to talk about divine reality is the Song of Songs.